This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today, and yay! Okay, the air conditioning's coming on. Because it's a little warm today. It's a little warm. I think it's in the 90s. We like warm, but you know, when you've been in 96, glory! I haven't checked for a while to see what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. Going to be 95 tomorrow, so a little cooler. Yay! A couple of degrees. Because tomorrow is Uncle Sam Day. So I'm going to have like multiple layers on tomorrow morning. So hopefully we'll get all our running around done before it gets to be a scorcher. We'll see. All is well. Had a good week at work. Got a lot done. Had meetings and squared some things away and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're good there. Obviously, this was the last work day of the month for me since I'm usually off on Fridays. But I think we're good. And then next week will be an odd week because it's 4th of July, which is right in the middle of the week. So that'll be interesting. Did I say I was driving home at the beginning of this? My neurons might not be firing on all cylinders right at the moment. This is the weekend to do my 48 to 72 hour fast, which is it's not as significant as it has been in years past, because occasionally I do the stop eating on Tuesday night, fast all day Wednesday, and then wait until dinner on Thursday to eat. So that in and of itself is a whatever 40 plus hour, but two times a year I like to do at least a 48 up to a 72 hour fast, because they say, for whatever they know, they say that if you do at least a 48, they what I've read is it always says 48 to 72, so I don't know where that is in there, but an in excess of 48 hour fast on very, very low intake, that your body actually says, oh, hey, we need to go in survival mode here, and it cleans a bunch of stuff up. So I looked at the calendar. I usually do it sometime around the 4th of July. I could have done it next week and just started on the 4th of July and, you know, done Thursday and Friday since I wasn't going to be in on Wednesday. But I looked at it and thought, you know what? We just might as well do it this week. And so I started Tuesday night. This is Thursday at this point. Haven't eaten yet, and I'm planning on having a meal with a friend for lunch tomorrow, Friday. So that will be like a, I don't know, 64 hour fast or something like that. Did have some gum last night, and there is like 5 calories a piece in the gum, but you know, I don't think that's enough to really jostle anything. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm not getting any benefit because of the gum. Hope not. Anyways, so all is well, but I was brought extra coffee today, so I kind of kept myself going on coffee today, but I am at the end of that coffee now, and it is the end of the day, and I'm just kind of wandering around, heading over to see my dad, because my dad's been having a little trouble with a tooth, and the very kind dentist said that she would be happy to see him today, but not until 6 o'clock, so I'm running over there. We're gonna get the podcast done, we're gonna work on dad's meal plan, and then we're going out to the south end of town to take care of him with the dentist, and then we're coming back, and then I'm going home, and hopefully we'll figure out what's wrong with my internet. We had a little bit of sadness as I was leaving the house today. I was just about out the door, and it was like 7:30, I was heading out the door. My wife said, "Is the internet out?" And it's like, "Ah, rocks." So I went and checked. Sure enough, the internet was out. Went down to the little rock house where we interface with the tower, and, you know, all the lights were flashing. Everything seemed fine. So then I put in a call to Total High Speed, who we borrow our internet from. And I do mean borrow, because we don't buy it from them. We're just tapped into their backhaul because I sold them the business. And that was kind of the prerequisite of selling them the business. Turns out they have not had an outage. So either there is something wrong in their controller that runs the wire over to the little rock house portion, or some rats have eaten through the wire and we're going to have to install another wire, or something has gone wrong with the one or two pieces of equipment that there is before the Google Wi-Fi home unit that I have in the rock house, because it's offline. So, you know, I've got to get over there after I get home this evening and, you know, try my few little things. And if that doesn't work, Total High Speed has called me, and one of their technicians has gone ahead and given me his phone number, and so I can bypass tech support. Booyah! And then, of course, I've got a phone number for him now, so I can just text him when this happens again. So all is well. All is well there. It's just a little extra work. And as I said, it is Uncle Sam Day tomorrow. I think I've pretty much got about everything done except the buttons. Oh, and I made this glorious discovery that, in fact, there is a pocket on my jacket. Yay. Thought I was going to have to navigate without pockets tomorrow, but there's a pocket on the jacket, so good. Life without pockets is no good. It's no good. But I did look down, and I had seen it before, but I was reminded of the fact this is a jacket made in China, and the buttons are black. On the double-breasted buttons on the jacket are black, but underneath they're white, and they used white thread to sew them on. It's like, oh, come on. Come on. Because white thread is the cheapest, and it's a penny a pound business, and you know, and they have all these people lined up sewing these buttons on. So I'm going to see if I can take a Sharpie and go in there and darken stuff up a little bit with a Sharpie. That's my job tonight. But all is well, so I think I got that all put together, and we'll see how this goes. Got a few little tasks I got to do tomorrow morning, buy some bagels. Oh, I was going to sign on ahead of time and get some bagels bought so I could just, you know, pick them up and go. And I got all the way to the end and I hit the pay button and it went, oh, an error has occurred. Ah. So I tried a little later. Oh, an error has occurred. So I tried a little later and then I get a fraud alert. So obviously they have been pre-authing my card. Because I get this fraud alert. They're like, are you trying to charge? Yes, I'm trying to charge this Panera, but it never did go through. At least I don't know that it went through. So I need to check in with my Citibank stuff and see if the charge ever actually went through. Because I don't think it did. All the glories, man, all the glories of connected technology. So, anyways, you know, I gotta check that stuff and see what's going on. Anyway, so that's well. All is well with the writing. I am doing a read-through. Doing a read-through on book 9. And that read-through seems to be going fine. It actually feels okay. It feels fine. You know, I jumped in, quickly and... it looks good. Everything's fine. Oh, man. They've been pre-authing me every single time. Okay, I'm going to have to give them a call after I finish this. Yeah. All right. Great. I'm gonna. No wonder. They've pre-authed me like 6 times. Great. Okay, I will call them. So anyways, today, that's a perfect segue into what we're talking about here. Because today, I came across an article. I thought it was a really, really good article. And it's completely apropos to what we're talking about today. Because it's about complaining. It's pretty interesting, pretty interesting, pretty interesting. I'm going to leave the car running, and I'm going to keep watching the temperature gauge here as I keep the car running, and then we're going to go through this. We may go through this pretty quickly, because it's already 4:30, got to pick up my dad at 5:30, got a few things to do. Anyways, the name of the article, and this was how complaining rewires your brain for negativity. Oh, this is an important topic. It's by Travis Bradbury. And he has a very impressive set of credentials here. He's an award-winning co-author of the number one best-selling book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0. Co-founder of TalentSmart, the world's leading provider of emotional intelligence tests and training, serving more than 75% of the Fortune 500 companies. His best-selling books have been translated into 25 languages and are available in more than 150 countries. He has written for Newsweek, Business Week, Fortune, Forbes, Fast Company, US Today, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, etc., 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 etc. So, anyways, and in this article, he is talking about the effects that complaining has on your brain. So this, I grew up in the Philippines, and when you have a car running in the Philippines and it's hot outside, that's bad for the car. So I'm going to roll down the windows, I'm going to turn off the car, and just sweat it out. So here we go. So he has some really interesting things to say. Said research shows that most people complain once a minute during a typical conversation. Many years ago, and I did some podcasts on this as well, there was a man who was selling, little rubber, those rubber bracelets. And the object was to go complaint free for 30 days. And so you'd put on this rubber bracelet, and if you heard yourself complaining, then what you'd do is you'd switch it to the other side, and you'd start over again. And as I recall, I actually made it through. I think once in that 30 days, I may have grunted once, but I thought, no, that's not really complaint. So, but it was a challenge. It was a challenge. And in this article, Dr. Bradbury was saying it's tempting to complain because it feels good. And he said, but like many other things that are enjoyable, such as smoking or eating a pound of bacon for breakfast, complaining isn't good for you. And the reason is when you repeat a behavior such as complaining, your neurons branch out to each other to ease the flow of information. So when you complain, it becomes easier. Now you say, okay, well, what's the big deal with that? So what? Why shouldn't I just complain all the time? Well, here's some interesting things that he noted that come up. He says research from Stanford University has shown that complaining shrinks the hippocampus, an area of the brain that's critical to problem solving and intelligent thought. Damage to the hippocampus is scary, especially when you consider it's one of the primary brain areas destroyed by Alzheimer's. So this would seem to indicate that if you make a habit of complaining and complaining and complaining, you may inadvertently be restricting and hobbling your ability to problem solve and think intelligently about things. I mean, one of the ways that I characterize something like this is that flesh breeds flesh. So if you're going to let your flesh run and let it have voice and let it do all those things, then it will just get stronger and stronger, and it will actually influence you and cloud your ability to think rationally and calmly about things. In addition to that, when you complain, your body releases a stress hormone, cortisol. Cortisol shifts you into fight or flight mode, directing oxygen, blood, and energy away from everything but the systems that are essential for immediate survival. One effect of cortisol, for example, is to raise your blood pressure and blood sugar so you'll be prepared to either escape or defend yourself. All that extra cortisol released by frequent complaining impairs your immune system and makes you more susceptible to high cholesterol, diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. It even makes the brain more vulnerable to strokes. Boy, this is not good. This is not good. And it's not just you. So if you are someone who complains frequently and vociferously and you wander through life about, oh, everything's so frustrating and, oh, I'm just so, this the thing that really frustrated and a thing that's really bad about this and, oh, I can't believe people are like this. And you're affecting the people around you as well. So if you have this complaining attitude, you know, he says our brains naturally and unconsciously mimic the moods of those around us, particularly people we spend a great deal of time with. This process is called neuronal mirroring, and it's the basis of our ability to feel empathy. The flip side, however, is that it makes complaining a lot like smoking. You don't have to do it yourself to suffer the ill effects. So you need to be cautious about spending time with people who complain about everything. Complainers want people to join their pity party so that they can feel better about themselves. Think of it this way. If a person were smoking, would you sit there all afternoon inhaling the secondhand smoke? You distance yourself, and you should do the same with complainers. Whoa, oh, oh, if you can. So he said there's a couple of things you can do when you feel the need to complain. And this is all just standard, really standard good stuff. One is to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. That is, when you feel like complaining, shift your attention to something you're grateful for. Taking the time to contemplate what you're grateful for isn't merely the right thing to do. It reduces stress hormones, the stress hormone cortisol, by 23%. Research conducted by the University of California, Davis found that people who work daily to cultivate an attitude of gratitude experience improved mood and energy and substantially less anxiety due to lower cortisol levels. So in other words, anytime you experience negative or pessimistic thoughts, use that as a cue, shift gears, think about something positive. Because you can always find something to think about positive. It was like today, you know, I was getting kind of a little bit distracted, a little bit tired today. I was drinking the coffee to stay up, but, you know, I just started deep breathing. And then as I was working, I just kept saying, I thank you, my God, for this good day. I thank you that you love us, that you always help us, that you guide us, you give us solutions, you know, and it was amazing. You start doing that, you start, you know, then everything starts relaxing, I start feeling better, I'm able to get quality work done. It's cool stuff. So the second thing you can do, and only when you have something that is truly worth complaining about, is to engage in solution-oriented complaining. Have a clear purpose. So in other words, when I see that they have pre-authed my card 6 times... Okay, well, so what's the solution for that? Well, the solution is I'm going to call Panera, and I'm going to say, it looks like you have pre-authed my card 6 times, but every time I was working with your app, it was saying that there was an error. So are you showing 6 orders for me that I'm supposed to show up? You know, that's da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now then, they said if you're going to do that, you should do a couple of things. So first you start with positive. You call them up and say, I've been a customer for a very long time. I've always been thrilled with your service. And then be specific. Instead of just saying, your employee was rude to me, describe specifically what the employee did. Now, what I will do is say, I really like your app. It looks like it's really cool and well designed, but I was working trying to get these bagels ordered, and every time I would try to check out, it would say, oh, an error has occurred. And then I checked later, and it had actually pre-authed my card. And then end on a positive. If you end your complaint with an, I'm never shopping here again, the person who's listening has no motivation to act. Instead, you can say something like, you know, I'd like to work this up so that we can keep our business and relationship intact. So some of all this is pretty easy. This is what he says in the article. Just like smoking, drinking too much, and lying on the couch watching TV all day, complaining is bad for you. Put this advice to work and you'll reap physical, mental, and performance benefits that come with a positive frame of mind. You know, it's amazing. Flesh breeds flesh, spirit breeds spirit. So I've said before, I've got this framework with flesh and spirit. Do I know exactly how everything is working internally in terms of the physicality and the interfacing with the spiritual world? I have no idea. But this idea, this framework of fleshly behavior is unprofitable and spiritual behavior leads to success, works out in tons of different ways. And this is just yet another article that adds some credence to that. And at the end of the day, starts building a biological foundation underneath. Now, is it the actual complaining that is causing the rise in blood pressure? Is it the complaining that's interfacing in somehow to the spiritual world and then doubling back? Is it the complaining that's creating a belief system and that belief system then is working on the biology? Going to be a lot of that stuff. We'll never have an understanding of exactly what's going on because there's mysteries within us. But there are guiding principles that we can use that if you let your mind dwell on negativity, that at the end of the day, that's really not going to be good for you. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it to my dad's, and then I'm taking him to the dentist. Have a great week.